Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I've done a couple of videos about the concept of receipt checkers, as the people who check your receipt as you leave a store to confirm that you actually paid for what you're walking out of the store with. Sometimes they check for unbagged items. Sometimes they check to see, you know, that you paid for everything that you got, and so on and so forth. And I did a video about that and the legality surrounding that. And I had some people who got upset with me and said, Steve, I don't get this. I shop at these stores all the time, and the fact that they keep doing this bothers me. So I did a follow-up video where I pointed out that if you keep shopping at the store, despite the fact that you don't like their policies, it kind of makes you a sheep. Because if you didn't like their policies, you could stop shopping there. And in response to that video, I had a lot of people, quite a few people say, Steve, that's a fallacy, because I have no place else to shop. Walmart's the only game in town. I have no place else to shop. I've also had people say, Steve, you must be rich if you can afford not to shop at Walmart, but some of us aren't rich like you, and we have to shop there because they're the least expensive option or alternative we have. And I would like to point out now the most obvious thing here, and that is Walmart is your fault, okay? So the idea that you have to shop at Walmart now is your fault. It's your fault. Don't blame anybody else. Don't blame me. Don't blame Walmart. So what we're going to get at here, like I said, not talking about the receipts anymore. Talking about why you shop there if you dislike their policies. Okay? And I understand what you're going to say, but we'll go through this so it all makes sense. So here's the idea. Walmart has not been around forever. Okay? They were not around during Jesus' time. They were not around during the Pilgrim's time. Walmart came along and suddenly they were there, but they were not there forever. And I remember reading articles in newspapers and magazines in the early 80s talking about Walmart and what Walmart was all about. Now, I live in the north, and my understanding is that Walmart is from the south. And so therefore, I would not have heard about Walmart as early as some of the people who live down south, but there were no Walmarts anywhere near where I was growing up. We had Kmart. We had Kresge, we had Woolworths, we had Five and Dime stores. I kid you not. So, and I'm not that old. But the point is that there were all these stores that you could shop at. And also, there were often specialty stores. There were bike shops. There were flower shops. There were butcher shops. If you wanted to shop locally back in the day, there was often a different merchant who would sell the product that you wanted to buy. Okay? That was before Walmart came along. And I remember one of the very earliest articles I ever read about Walmart was describing their business model. And in the article, they said, you know, if you want to buy paint, you can go to a local hardware store, especially back then, and buy paint, and they'll have like 75 shades of white. Go to Home Depot today and look up white paint. You'll have a whole wall, 300 shades. Human eyes can't tell the difference. But they've got it. They said, Walmart, on the other hand, will have white paint, but they'll have tons of it because they know that most people come and buy white paint, don't care if it's pearl white, pink white, seashore white, seagull white. They just want white paint. So Walmart buys a trillion gallons of white paint and sells it for less than what the other store buys their paint for. And as a result of that, people go, well, let's see, I could buy white paint at the hardware store, $5 a gallon. I can buy it from Walmart for $2 a gallon. Now, no variety at Walmart, at least back then, but it's such a savings that people will go there. And they did that thought process in many of the things they carried. And of course, Walmart's big. They carry all the stuff. So I mentioned before the bike shop, the flower shop, the butcher shop. Walmart puts all that under one roof, and they'd often put that roof right on the edge of a town where the property costs were a little bit lower. And they would park their thing right outside of town. So you knew if you wanted to buy paint, you'd go to the local hardware store or you'd go to the Walmart. Less selection at the Walmart, but it's like half price. So there comes a time in every town when the Walmart shows up where the locals have the choice. Do we shop with our local stores that we've been dealing with for the last generation or two? Or do we go outside and go to the Walmart and get it for less? And that's a decision many, many people made and decided to go with less, okay? So the moment that you made that decision to stop shopping locally with your local merchant that you've been dealing with for your entire life and you decided to go to the store on the edge of town and pay half price, you made that decision. Now, I know what you're saying. You say, Steve, I saved money. Yes, you saved money. But the bargain, of course, was that you were going to save money by getting a different product and also by hurting the local merchant you've been dealing with your entire life. Now, I understand that people are saying, Steve, this is pure economics. Pure economics. If the merchant wanted to stay in business, they could have tried competing. If they didn't compete, that's what economics does. My whole point is, economics is not just money, okay? There comes a time when you ask yourself, do I buy the plain white paint for $2 or the Seagull white paint with a brand name for $5 from the guy I've been dealing with for the last 20 years? I have made it very, very clear, I don't shop at Walmart. I don't have anything against Walmart. I just don't shop there. But that's a choice I know I made, and I understand I pay more. I've had people say, Steve, you're an idiot. You pay more by not shopping at Walmart. That's not the only thing in life. So let me explain to you something else. I'm going to give you an example, and I saw this with my own eyes. I mentioned the bike shop. The bike shop, okay? Most towns that I'm familiar with of a certain size have bike shops. The town I live in right now has a bike shop. Every bike I've owned as an adult came from a bike shop, okay? Never mail-ordered one, never went to Walmart and got one, never bought one at Kmart or Sears. Every bike I got from a bike shop, okay? So I was at the local bike shop about 15 years ago. And while I was there talking to a guy about getting things, I think I was getting a pair of biking shoes, which I could have got off Amazon, but I bought them locally. And somebody came in carrying a child's bike that had a broken crank on it. The pedals attached to the crank that go through the bottom bracket. And this guy's got his little daughter with him, and he's carrying this bicycle, and it's got a broken crank on it. And he puts it on the counter in front of the bike shop guy. And I glance at it, and I recognize that it's one of those names you don't see in a bike shop. It's a name you see at a Walmart. And the bike shop guy goes, yeah, can I help you? And the guy goes, this piece broke. It's a broken crank. Piece broke on my daughter's bike. Can you fix it? The guy takes one glance, and he goes, no, I can't. And the guy goes, why not? He goes, that crank is a single piece, and all this stuff's pressed fit together. It's not componentry that you can take apart and just replace one piece on. It's all pressed fit. Chinese junk, basically, is what it is. And the guy goes, no, I can't fix it. I'm sorry. And the guy goes, you're kidding me. And the guy goes, no. He goes, where'd you buy it? And the guy goes, Walmart. Bought it at Walmart. And the bike shop guy points, and he's got a bike the same size, same configuration, by a better manufacturer that has component parts on it. Costs more money. And the guy looks at the bike shop guy and goes, oh, how much is that? The guy tells him the price. And you can see the disappointment in the man's face and in his daughter's face as she realizes that her dad's about to sell her out. And he goes, yeah, okay. He turns around, he walks out. And so the bike he bought that was cheaper at the Walmart was cheaper quality than the one he could have gotten at the local bike shop. Now, the local bike shops have actually managed to survive in the age of Walmart because they offer a broader selection that many bikers want. And people like me, I said, I'll pay more money to go to the bike shop and get a better bike. And I like to support the local guys. And I do what I can to support them when I can. Okay? But there was a time when every community in America that had a Walmart show up or whatever these other mega hyper markets are showed up and you had the choice. And the choice was, I can continue shopping with the people I've been supporting my entire life, or I can simply go over there and shop there and save some money. And then what happens as you fast forward through that process, as more and more money gets spent over here, the local shops disappear. Once the local shops are gone, guess what often happens with the store that's behind? The store goes, oh, we can raise our prices now. And they do. And they raise their prices. And again, the economists in the audience are going to go, Steve, that's how monopolies work. Yeah, it is. It is. And I understand that. And so I admit that when I talk about spending money at a store, and I've said it before, you're voting with your dollars. You support a store by giving them your money, okay? If you disagree with their policies, whether it's political, whether it's just principle, whatever it is. I know people who say, Steve, I stopped shopping at a particular store because I disagree with their politics. Do that. This is America. You know, you have a right to actually say things and do things, and you have the right to say, I'm going to spend my money here. I'm not going to spend your money how you see fit. But there was a moment in time in every community across America where the people in that community had the choice. Do we support our local businesses or do we go spend our money over there? And I know some people are going to go, Steve, I happen to fall in that gray area. See, I was in a town where I supported my local businesses. And then I was forced to move, never my own choice, forced to move someplace. And the only thing there was a Walmart. I had to shop there. Okay, if that's true for you, great. You're an outlier. You are an exception to the rule. But a vast majority of my viewing audience, and I feel bad saying this, but a vast majority of my viewing audience found themselves in a position at one time in their lives where they actually were told, hey, there's a new Walmart on the edge of town, just opened up. You wouldn't believe the prices they've got out there. And by the way, the prices they have are sometimes insane. I heard an interview on the radio with a guy who was a small business owner back east someplace. And he sold a soft drink, one of the big soft drinks that you've heard of. And he said that he was buying it from his local distributor and marking it up as he always did. And then one day he went shopping at one of those club stores and discovered that they were retailing the soft drink for less than he was paying for it to his distributor. And he called up his distributor and goes, excuse me, can I buy the soft drink for my store for the same price you sell it to them? And they go, no. And he goes, can I buy it for the same price that they retail it for? And the guy goes, no. He goes, will you lower your price for me at all? And the guy goes, no. And the guy goes, let me understand this. I'm one of your customers. I've been a customer of yours for 20 years. This super hypermarket comes into town and apparently is buying the stuff from you so cheap that when they mark it up, they're selling it for less than I'm paying you for it. The guy goes, yeah. Because what's the rationale? And he goes, they cut a huge deal. They basically went to the company headquarters and said, we're going to buy, you know, billions of units from you each year. What's the best price you can give us? And the price we gave them was so far below what regular wholesale is that when they mark it up, yeah, it's less than I sell you stuff for. And the guy who owns the store goes, well, then why should I keep buying from you? And the guy goes, well, do you want to carry our brand or not? And the guy goes, no. He goes, I can go buy it from the club store and put it on my shelves and sell it at retail and I'll make more money. And the guy goes, yeah, I guess you can. And so there's all kinds of weird things happening at different levels here, right? But the real point is that if you actually think that saving a penny is that important to you, or saving a nickel is that important to you, or saving a diamond, you have to ask yourself, how much money do I save where I'll still feel good about myself when I know I've put this other business out of business by not going to them anymore, okay? And I'm not saying, I'm advocating for us to go back to days where there's, you know, one store in town, they charge anything they want, we'll pay whatever they want. You know, that's not what I'm saying at all. But, you know, there was a time when, you know, when I grew up in Birmingham, Michigan, there was the Birmingham Bike Shop. There was also a bike shop in Berkeley. I believe it's called the Berkeley Bike Shop. There was a bike shop on Woodward Avenue at 14 Mile. I knew where three or four bike shops were. So if I wanted a bike, I'd ask myself, what brand of bike do I want? What model of bike do I want? What are the prices on those bikes? And I'd go around and look at them. Now, there might be manufacturers suggest retail prices on some of this stuff. Some of that they wouldn't have. Some of it was just coming down to which shop I liked better, which one was more convenient for me, or how I got treated by a salesperson. You know, I've talked before about buying a car. Okay, I bought a Ford Explorer last year. I shopped around. I wound up buying the vehicle at a dealership where they treated me right. Okay, now I could have gotten the exact same vehicle 5 miles from my house. Same price, by the way, because I'm an A-plan buyer. Could have gotten the exact same deal. But I didn't want to give my business to someplace that had treated me poorly. I wanted to give it to somebody who treated me correctly. And so not everything in life is about the price, okay? And I know you're saying, Steve, but you're rich, obviously. But for us, every penny counts. You have to understand, like I said, all I'm getting at is there was a point in time where you made the decision, your neighbor made a decision, your relatives made it, everybody around you, where people make that decision. I am going to go shop at that store instead of this store. And 5 years later, when this store is gone, don't complain about it. Don't complain about it because you are one of the people who helped put them out of business. That's my point. So when you talk about Walmart being the only game in town and you just wish there was something you could do about it, there was, but you didn't do it back when it mattered. So Walmart is your fault. Got no one to blame but yourself. Questions, comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. The mistake you make is trying to figure it out.